have a problem with leaving, but okay. Really, really important pasuk. Okay, really important pasuk. Okay, we'll give 10 seconds for the leavers. What? Yes, yes. Leave on. The Shabbos, leavers. We'll see you tonight at the Tish. See you tonight at the Tish. Okay. Okay. V'ata kislu lachem es hashira hazos v'lamnas b'nei Yisrael. Teach them Torah. Write Torah again. Why? Because the Torah should bear testimony to everything that was written in Vayelech, and Hashem will redeem them, even though it may look dark and bleak. Enochi haster aster panameim. Why? V'haya. Why should you write Torah? I just read to you Pasuk Yud Tes, write Torah down. Why should you write Torah down? Because it's a aid. L'mantiyali hashir hazos li'aid. What is an Eidus about? Torah is Eidus. What is an Eidus about? Skipping one pasuk. Pasuk Chaval. V'haya ki tin matzeh. Tinsena osa raos rabos v'tzeros. V'yansa hashir hazos l'fanav li'aid. You're going to have dark times. You're going to suffer lack of emunah. Not suffer, but it's going to be hard to struggle with your emunah. Look in the Torah and see all the prophecies in the Torah. So follow the sequencing, okay? Write down the Torah. The Torah is meant to bear testimony. When will it bear testimony? During hard times. What will the testimony be? All the prophecies. Despite how bleak it looks, Hashem promises. That's the simple pshat. The Yishalmi has a totally different pshat. Shalmi's pshat is not write the Torah. It should be an aid during black, dark times. And by the way, this aid will always be available because Torah will never be forgotten. Ki lo tishachach. Write the Torah, and the Torah will be an aid. And how will it help you through hard times? The historical reality, the Torah will never be forgotten. Lo tishachach is not an assurance. By the way, you can always open up a Torah. It will always be available, Levi. It will never disappear. And read Parshas Nitzavim, or read Parshas Bechagoza, and read good things to support yourself against all these bleak times. No. When bleak times come, you know how you'll know that there's Gula around the corner? The everlasting nature of Torah. Ki lo tishachach mipi zaro doesn't mean, oh, it's available to counter all these bleak, pessimistic ideas. The fact that Torah will never be forgotten is the greatest symbol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us, even during periods of Hester Panim. Let me read the Yishalmi to you. Very, very subtle but powerful point. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abaye, it's in Yishalmi in Sanhedrin. B'shem Rabbi Acha, Ma'isi Lamin Hada. Ein lecha sha kasha be'olam, me'os ha'sha, sha'am Allah HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'moshe, v'anochi hastir astir panah be'emahu. One of the most crushing psukim in the entire Torah is when Hashem tells us there's going to be long periods of concealed presence of Hashem. And they're going to be hard. It's going to try your faith. Me'os ha'sha, what happens when there's hastir panim? Wait for Hashem. It's based on a pasuk in Tanach, the Kivisilo. Ki lo tishachach mipi zara. When you have Hester Panim, the way to maintain your emunah is when you see the eternity of Torah. For 2,000 years, we've lived in Hester Panim. No nevuah, no nisim gluyim, no beis hamikdash, suffering, persecution from Yisrael. But yet Torah just continues because it's eternal. And it hovers above history. It's not affected by history. And no matter where you are, you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah. It's like this other world of eternity. And as crushing and dark as the world around you feels and seems, you'll always have B'chol HaMakom Asher Hizkir Shemi. You have a contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know that you're dealing with something that will surpass and supersede this world. When everything fades, everything's ground to dust, and everything disappears from this world, what we learn in this room and what you learn in that base matters will be your eternity. So again, the pshat is, don't write the Torah so it can be an aid. And by the way, it will always be on the shelf because it will never be destroyed and then you can open up and read psukim. No. Ki lo tishachach mipi zaro is how you will counter the depressing historical events of Hester Panim. You'll say, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concealed, but His will is still here. Ki lo tishachach mipi zaro. against all odds, against all book burnings, against all persecutions, against all inquisitions, against all forced conversions, against all forced baptisms, against everything, the Torah is still here. Sometimes people ask me, how do you know? How do you know this is real? How do you know this is all Yad Hashem? How do you know? Maybe it's just a big fake. Maybe it's just a historical detour. This is an interesting question. It's a fair question. Many different answers to it. Sometimes I tell people you're thinking with the wrong part of your body. You're thinking rationally. And some things have to be thought through emotionally and in your soul, with your heart, not your head. But if you are looking for signs, and I'm not going to go through the signs now, but if you're looking for one of the signs, there's more Torah being learned in 2021 than at any period since the first Beis HaMikdash. And why am I saying this so confidently? Because I asked this question directly to two great people. I said, would you agree with the following statement? I asked Rav Aaron Lichtenstein that question, and I asked Rav Schechter that question. And they each looked at me and said, of course. Of course. 90,000 people in a stadium? Hundreds of thousands of people in Dafyomi? Hundreds of thousands of people learning in Kollel? Thousands of boys and girls learning? Never heard of it. Unheard, unprecedented. First Beis HaMikdash type experience. Never. Not that we're gedolim, but you go back to the yeshivos and maybe 400 people in Volozhin. There are 10,000 people in there. Now, I'm not saying all of them are Volozhiners and all of them are Netzivs, but the spread of Torah? Lo tishachach mi pizaro. That's how we know we're getting closer. So it's not just the last 2,000 years as a hedge against all the frustration and torture and discrimination and darkness and hesterponim, but it's also the burgeoning and flowering of Torah. It's a sign that we're living through the end of history. Torah is being, Baruch Hashem, repopularized. Now, why am I telling you this? It's Parshas Vayelech, so it's important to read it that way. But I'm trying so hard to get you guys to be part of it, to be in that game. Look at this chus you have. You're living at the cusp of history. And your decision to learn Torah well and spread Torah well and become knowledgeable in Torah and translate that Torah, that's a historical moment. Not that it was any less meaningful in 1500, but it has an added dimension, added resonance in 2021. Because you are escorting Torah through the end of times. And you are accelerating the end of times by the way you accelerate Torah and spread Torah learning. It's really exciting. I want you to have that historical sense. You're put into a particular period in history and something is expected of you. Expectations, responsibilities, not rights. If you have rights, you'll have a very, very empty life. You can't build your life on rights. If you know how to handle heavy responsibility and duty, and so it's a historical responsibility. How will you change the world of Torah? Again, it seems like a question you never asked yourself because you're in high school mode and you're just in the receiving end, but transitioning into adult mode is, I'm not just a passive recipient. I'm going to be someone who will be part of that prophecy. I want to be part of that prophecy. I want to make sure that it comes true. It will come true. It's predetermined. The question is whose shoulders? Whose voice? Whose tongue? Whose mind? Whose imagination? Whose soul? Who's going to carry that prophecy to its fruition? Really powerful pasuk. Lo tishachach is not just saying, by the way, Torah won't be forgotten, so I always use it as a good reference book to read about history. No, no, no. How do you respond to history's darkness? There's always that glimmer of light. Lo tishachach. History may change, history may fluctuate. This never changes. This is above. Always remember that. It's above. It's above history. Remember, I felt it really powerfully during the Intifada. Last night was, I think, the anniversary. I don't know, anniversary. I think I saw someone on Twitter posted a very special person there by David Apple, or by Applebaum, Hill Applebaum, I think was his name. He was a doctor in Shari Tzedek. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was a Talmud of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And I think maybe 20 years ago or maybe 19, whatever, yesterday, he went out with his daughter, who was getting married the next day. She just went out the night before the wedding just to have a family meal to Cafe Hillel, one of the Cafe Moment, or I forget which one, but they went to a cafe in Yerushalayim, which unfortunately was bombed. And he and his daughter were nifter, and were killed. If you ever go to Shari Tzedek,
visit Rabbi Goldberg, Shmuel's father. So the entire emergency room is named after Rabbi Dr. Applebaum. He was a real a real figure. Similar in this respect, let's say Rabbi Goldberg, Judah Goldberg. You'll see him in the Beis Medrash. A real Talmid Chacham, a serious Ben Torah, a serious and a very, very well loved and respected doctor. So it was a hard time. People were dying, bombs were going off. It wasn't an easy time. And I struggled with that issue, because on the one hand I had the Beis Medrash, and that was my Ir Mikvah, and in some way it should be. The world around you is crumbling like it had throughout history, and that doesn't exempt you from studying Hashem's Torah. If anything, it's a greater responsibility. On the other hand, how could you be so deaf to what's going on around? How do you reconcile the two? And it's a good conflict to have. A good conflict to have. Remember, this was 1996. Again, 1996, 1997, when the Intifada was first gaining steam, the second Intifada. And a boy who had learned here for 2 years went to a more Haredish yeshiva. Again, I'm very proud of him. I'm in touch with him today. He called me up Sukkot just to wish me a Chag Sameach. And right between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, there was a lot of tumult. There were lynchings going on in Ramallah. Yid was lynched. He ended up traveling incorrectly to Ramallah. There were helicopters. So it was basically war. There was war in the entire country. And he called me and said, Rebbe, how are you? Good Yomtev. How's it going? How's your Sukkot? How's your Lulav? And I said, do you know what's going on? He said, no, I'm here in Gula eating pizza. I said, hang up the phone, go to a television, and start with this before internet. Call me back in a few minutes. Lo yitachin that you're saying, good Yomtev, how are you? How's it going? Tell me about your Sukkah. When I'm still suffering. So you have to find that balance. Not always easy to find the balance. But at least fundamentally, not to forget, Lo tishachach mi pizara. This is eternal. Well, never. I've lived through this, okay? Let me put it to you differently. When I was your age, learning Torah wasn't cool. There was no NCSY kollel, and no summer learning. We didn't learn at night. A couple old guys in the Beis Medrash learning. None of us in high school. You grew up in a world of popular learning and excitement and youth learning, and I didn't have that. I've seen the change. One of my most powerful experiences is learning Svarim from Isaiah, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He learned in Slobodka. He was a Rav in Europe about 10 minutes before Hitler invaded. And he landed in Baltimore. And he was the Rav of a conservative shul. That's the only thing. I mean, it was an Orthodox shul, but, one a year. People came once or twice a year. And he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And I yarshin a lot of his Svarim. And I read through his Svarim. And I imagine that in his mind, in the 50s and 60s, Torah was on the ropes. And where is it heading? No one was learning Torah. Lakewood started with 20 boys. And he never had the schuss to give shir. Every time I learn something, I'm planning, which shir am I going to give? And how am I going to... Just sat and learned Lishma. Just sat and learned Torah Lishma. Give me the last person on this earth and just learn Torah. Just sit and learn Torah Lishma all day. And I'm humbled by it, because I don't have that Lishma. Because I know that everything I'm learning, I teach it, I understand it. It's a little bit of Shalom Lishma, because I have to... Just to be able to sit and learn, it's like my dream, to learn the Shema, not to have any ulterior motive, just to be Omid Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu and learn the Torah because it's Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I know his world and I know my world, and it's very different from your world. I've seen this, Nebuah. I've seen it come true. I hope I've been part of it coming true. Now it's your turn. Make it true. Make it happen. Be part of it. Good Shabbos, everyone. See you tonight. From Rami Bar Chama to Warsaw to Yeshivat Har Tzion.